Hey, everybody. Welcome to Connectivity, episode 280. And we're going to talk all about the original Metroid and Metroid Zero Mission. But before we get there, we have a returning guest. And it happens to be very fortuitous timing for Xander Morningstar to be joining us again. As we're recording, the Stanley Cup could be being handed out to the Tampa Bay Lightning, unless the Montreal Canadiens keep it going. But regardless, from the start of the hockey season, when Xander was on, and I also got John, I'll introduce everybody else who's on. John Raritan, as always, is here with me.
Hello.
Xander Morningstar, our previous hockey predictor, is back, as well as old connectivity host, OG, Andy Gergen.
Hi, my name is Andy, and I used to like Nintendo games.
And then we have Matt Zawadiak making 2 weeks in a row.
That's me. Am I the first person to like be on 2 weeks in a row that wasn't a regular host?
Alex was on.
He's an editor, so he's like an honorary regular host. He has to do things for the show every week. So.
But I just wanted to go by, so to catch everybody up, I guess it would have been back. When did the hockey season start? Sometime in January. Xander happened to be guesting, and it was right when the season started. So I got Xander and John, who, as far as I know, don't pay attention to hockey at all, considering that Xander like lost his shit when the Pittsburgh Penguins just existed. I'm assuming you guys don't watch hockey, but we're almost at the end of the season, and I had everybody pick the playoff teams as well as the winner for each division. And it was like the winner of the little mini tournaments that they had to decide the final four. And you got 3 points for every division win, which only one of us picked a division right. I picked the Tampa Bay Lightning to win the Central. They did, and they might win the cup tonight. You got 3 points for every division win and 1 point for every playoff pick. So Xander, I will give you credit. You got half of the teams correct for the playoffs.
Thank you.
You got eight. John, you only got six.
That's fine.
And I wound up getting ten, including the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that put me with 12 points in the lead. Xander with eight, John with six. So that's to put a bow on that.
Metroid episode is starting to feel a bit like an MLM to get people interested in hockey.
I mean, yeah, hockey's fun as hell.
Like, the sports episode was last week, Neil. You missed it. Give up.
You know, in my calendar, I've had on July 15th, Nudge Neil written on it, and I forgot what that meant. And it was for hockey.
But now that we're past that, we're going to talk about Metroid. So let's start off by talking about the original game that came out in 1986. We're celebrating 35 years of Metroid. I think Nintendo might be. I'm not sure. They happen to be releasing Metroid Dread. I don't think they've actually acknowledged that it's the 35th anniversary of Metroid. But 35 years ago, Metroid came out on the Nintendo Entertainment System. And a large swat. Actually, Andy, you were the only person alive when this game came out. So with that being said, Andy, you would have probably been the earliest person to play Metroid. What were your thoughts back then, and how have they evolved over the past?
Not ever. Just to be clarified, there are people who played it that are older than me.
No, you played it before Gunpei Yokoi.
I was a beta tester of the mere concept of Metroid. it's crazy thinking back. What I remember about those days. So I got the NES. I'm pretty sure I got it the first Christmas that it was widely available, because there was like a holiday test launch in New York City. And then I think it was widely available like early the next year. And we got it. I had to have been like Christmas of 86. And so like when you're that age and that era of video gaming, you get a couple of games a year. Like you get games for Christmas, and not even really for your birthday, at least in my experience. Like it was so rare to get a video game outside of Christmas that it was like Christmas. When you got a video game, it was like Christmas, because that's literally when you got video games. So what I remember about getting Metroid is that it was like the first new game I had. You know, I think in the first year we had the NES, we had like, when we got it, we had Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, which were separate cartridges in the system that we got. We didn't get them as a unit. Gyromite and Baseball. just four like real heavy hitters
early games.
Yeah, like black box favorites. I think we ended up with like Kung Fu and maybe Donkey Kong in that first year outside of Christmas, like a couple of, you know, another early favorites. But the year we got Metroid for Christmas, we also got Kid Icarus at the same time. And if I remember correctly, I was the one who asked for Kid Icarus for Christmas, and my brother was the one who asked for Metroid because I was a little baby and he was an older, cool kid. So we got both of those games, and I have over the years grown really fond of the Metroid games, not so much the Kid Icarus games. I know I played Kid Icarus a bunch when I was a kid, but I don't remember it really sticking with me.
I mean, because it's kind of bad.
I mean, yeah, there is that. Like, you can't go back to Kid Icarus and pick it up and easily play through the first world because it's hard. It's really hard.
The difficulty is backwards, where it gets pretty easy when you get to the end, but that first level is so hard.
I mostly just put a password in to warp to the last stage because it was like a flying level and it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But Metroid, right? Metroid. I remember like having like an informal competition with like my cousin who was like kind of like the ideal older gamer bro when I was a kid. He like beat every game that I played before I beat it and bragged about how much better he was at video games. He was like 7 years older than I was, so I would have been like six, seven when this came out. He was like, you know, a high schooler. This game was just so wild to like, you could go anywhere. And I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately. I think the NES Metroid draws a lot from Zelda. So if Zelda was the big open world experiment when they were making games for the NES, I think Metroid was the next step of that experiment. Because again, Metroid is a game where you go in and it's not quite as open as Zelda 1, because in Zelda 1, you can go to literally any screen on the map, except for like the two raft screens, I guess, from the minute you turn the game on. And Metroid's a little more gated than that. But compared to every Metroid game they put out since, Metroid 1 is incredibly open-ended. You can probably hit up, I don't know, 30% of the map from the very beginning, and then you get one item, and that bounces up to like 80% of the map. I know I beat the game when we were kids. I had this like the strategy guide. I think I called it the Black Bible, but it was basically like Nintendo Power published an NES strategy guide with like 30 games in it, and it had maps.
I had guides like that as a kid. A lot of mine, just because of my age, like I wasn't playing NES during its heyday, but like I got a lot of those secondhand.
Yeah, it had maps for Metroid in it. I don't know if it had all the maps, but it definitely had like the maps where you would get lost. Like you go into Norfair and you can just end up completely lost in Norfair. It is a literal maze. So we would use those maps to find our way around. Even outside of the context of playing the game in its original heyday, what I remember a lot about playing Metroid was when I was in college and they had just put out the Fusion and Prime dual release on, I think it was the same day, was it not?
I think it was exactly one day apart, actually.
Okay.
Because I had to look this up recently, and I think that's how it went down.
If you just like pick your dates, you can say, you can make a statement that their average release of Metroid games is one per day. I remember that they had an unlockable. I think it was in both.
Or no, it was definitely in Prime.
It was in Prime and Zero Mission, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so. In Zero Mission, you get access to Metroid 1 by beating the game. And in Fusion, you got access to Metroid by linking it to Prime. And then in Prime, you got the Fusion suit.
Okay.
Yes, that sounds right. Right.
I believe you, Matt. Is that your homework.
Metroid like Fusion Link is in Zero Mission?
Fusion Link is slightly different. Because you could link Zero Mission to Fusion, because in the Japanese version of Fusion that came out after the Western version had additional endings that you could get. So if you linked Zero Mission to Fusion, then you could see the new endings for Fusion that otherwise were never available in America.
I had this distinct memory of hanging out at a friend's house in college, and in college, we just would hang out at our friends' houses. Even if our friends weren't around sometimes, we would just spend time in other places. And so I was by myself in my friend's house. And I think he was like, I don't know, at a study session. He was going to be back in like an hour or two. And I had the house to myself. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can beat Metroid in a single sitting. because I had my, I guess it would have been my GBA. I was thinking I played it on TV, but from what you're saying, that sounds right. I probably had my GBA on me. And I just picked up Metroid, and I, from what I remember, I beat it in a single sitting. And I thought to myself, that didn't take as long as I thought it was going to. And I've had this bouncing in my head for a long time that, like, if you know what you're doing, you can play through Metroid pretty dang quick. It doesn't take too much time. And so I decided, so I do Twitch streaming, like once a week, I do art. And I decided to do a Metroid stream, kind of in celebration of Dread being released, or announced, not released. So they announced Dread, and I was like, I was taking a brief hiatus from streaming, but I was like, I'm going to stream on my regular Tuesday night time slot, and I'm just going to play through Metroid, and we'll see how long it takes. And then I got nervous about that, and I was like, man, am I setting myself up for like a 4-hour marathon stream if I don't really remember that it's that quick? So I did a couple of practice runs, and I watched a YouTube guide or two on like ideal routes through Metroid. And it just sort of like began this rabbit hole where my friend Jeff and I started talking about ideal routes through this game. He's a friend that I tend to like talk about NES games specifically a lot with, because although he plays some modern games, like, his enthusiasm for NES games kind of matches my own, in that he never really stopped playing them, just like I never really stopped playing them. And then suddenly we had this little informal speedrun competition that, like, I just kind of went down the rabbit hole on. So I've been playing a lot of Metroid in the last couple of weeks, mostly just like kind of trying to improve my route. And I actually just bought a copy of the original cartridge off eBay. It should be here in a few days, and I'm going to try playing on original hardware and see how that affects my my run times. But I have always loved this game. I think when we get to the Zero Mission, we'll have a lot to say with regards to exactly what was changed and why those things might have been changed. And I'm not going to sit here and tell people they should play Metroid for Nintendo, because there's my age right there, for NES. It's hard for me to like reconcile that. I don't necessarily think it's a great game for people to play if they're not like comfortable playing on NES games, because I think that, like, I don't think Metroid is that much harder than a lot of other NES games. It's equally unfair and baffling. If you're comfortable in that space, there's a lot to like in that game. If you're not, you know, accustomed to the kind of inexplicable nonsense that comes with playing an NES game, Metroid's not an easy one to jump into. So I look forward to talking about like the differences between the game and the remake, because I have a lot of thoughts about what the NES game actually does better, and what Zero Mission, obviously Zero Mission does a lot better, and we'll get into that later. But I'm just kind of curious, like, I don't know if any of you guys have actually played the original all the way through, or like recently or ever.
So I have. Probably used Game Genie when I was a kid.
Sure.
Yeah, but I would have played it sometime in the early to mid 90s.
This is a prime Game Genie game.
Yeah. And I remember just being struck by it because of the musical presentation, like the way it was kind of like the sound effects are really weird and distinct. Just even the way enemies move, the way the shots are fired, the way there's a stillness for everything, which I think is something that's really kept up through the entire franchise, and it's something that has always stood out to me with Metroid. But I don't think I would have counted Metroid on NES as in the pantheon of my favorite NES games, although I agree with you with the, like, I adore Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2 on NES, but those are games that if you didn't grow up playing them, I don't think you should punish yourself and play those games. Listen to the soundtracks. They're very good. Don't play the games. They are brutally unfair and hard. Eagles suck. But Metroid on NES, I just remember being kind of struck by it because it was so weird and distinct. And then in the intervening years since, like, playing other games like Euphoria, which I think it was out on Wii and Wii U Virtual Console. It never came out in America, but that was kind of like a weird open worldy exploration game, or even like Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap, which had that really good remake on Switch. That there were a lot of different games that, whether or not they were directly inspired by Metroid, like, kind of messed around clumsily with that concept of more freeform exploration in games. And
Euphoria is a great pull, actually, because when that came out on, I think it came out on Wii Virtual Console first. Yeah. Or maybe it was Wii, I don't remember, but I
think it was Wii, and then I think I wound up playing it a lot on Wii U.
Okay. I remember thinking to myself that this was awesome because it was effectively an opportunity for me to see if my love for NES games would carry through to one I hadn't played before. And it did not. I played for probably about 3 or 4 hours and I eventually put it down and walked away. And I liked parts of it, but it was very hard to want to keep hitting my head against that wall. So yeah. It allowed me to empathize a little bit with people who didn't grow up in that time frame, being told that they should go back and play the originals. I don't think that's particularly good advice for a lot of people.
But that's kind of my thing with NES Metroid is that I didn't hold the attachment to it that I think you did. And I kind of, as time moved on, I played Super Metroid and I played Fusion and Zero Mission and moved on from playing and enjoying the original game. I will say I had a pretty good time sitting down with it and replaying it, the Famicom version, the Famicom Disk System version that's on Nintendo Switch Online if you have a Japanese account, which there's not really that many noticeable differences, but it's still interesting to see like a Metroid for NES with save files. There's like more sound effects because I guess there's another sound channel that's added because of the disk system.
I've never done it, but it's pretty easy to set up a Japanese account and download that for free, right?
Yeah. It's basically you just need a Japanese account. And if you have a Switch Online subscription on your primary account on the system, then you can just go download the app and go play everything that's on.
I really should do that because I've heard a lot of good things about the Japanese versions of some of these games.
Yeah. Like Zelda also has, I think, some added sound channels and stuff as well. But yeah, like the added sound effects are really fun. I liked a friend of the show, Ryan Grove, posted a clip of like how Ridley sounds in the Famicom version where it sounds like he's just saying ow. It's just like really weird. There is one thing that I didn't really notice until I looked up to see specifically what the differences were to make sure there was nothing that I missed. But because the NES game had to replace the sound effects that were designed to be used on the disc system. So there are parts of the game that have slowdown on NES that they don't on the Famicom version.
Ah.
So notably bosses and Entorian. And I have my memories from playing this game. I remember having trouble kind of like, I guess like, you know, getting lost in Norfair, finding my way through it. But I always remember like the ending march of going through Torian because you're kind of powered up by then, not being that hard. It was really hard. And I think it's because there was no slowdown that I was kind of used to like accounting for that.
Oh, coming from like someone who's been trying to optimize my speed, I will say that I think it is hard. I think like the unpredictability of the patterns on those little SpaghettiO dudes in that last hallway it's wildly hard to deal with if you're not like really accustomed to like I've actually learned to freeze them whenever I can, because if you freeze it, it won't respawn right away after you kill it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the slowdown in that room is real bad. That's for sure. And you have me very curious to replay that now with Famicom disk system. I know that the disk system version is a separate speedrunning category. So that probably explains that.
But yeah, I mean, like I don't think I'm ever going to go back and play Famicom or NES Metroid game again. Like this might be it. This might have been the last time I play either of those versions of the game. And it's not because I think they're bad. I just think they're like horrifically dated. I respect the original Metroid for what it tries to do, but there's things like the fact that you start off with like 35 health and like how immensely basically just you get your ass kicked early on. And if you get hit once, it could just spell doom. I definitely did the rewind feature a lot on this playthrough and I still enjoy the game. I don't think it's terrible. I just think it's dated. And I think that Zero Mission pretty much improves on it in every way. And I'll be curious, Andy, when we get to that part of the show, to hear what parts of the game you think that the NES version did better.
The 30 health thing is a particularly like one of the rules of thumb that I have when I'm doing a run through the game is if you have less than 30 health, you have to assume that at any point you can get one-shotted as you enter a room before you have any chance to prevent it. It's out of your control. It's out of your control. You could die if you have less than 30. If you have 30, I don't think anything will one-shot you with 30. But if you have like 22, you have to assume there's a possibility that the game will end and it will be out of your control.
So everybody else on the show hasn't played, didn't, or at least didn't grow up with it. Because even if I played it after it came out, like, I grew up playing NES Metroid. And Xander, I think you're the, Xander, was this the first time you ever played this game?
No, I think I had played it, gosh, in some fashion, whether it be, I don't know if it was one of the many Animal Crossing games or if it was on a Smash Brothers demo. Like, I had touched it before, but it was like one of those things where I like turned it on for about 3.5 minutes. I was like, oh, this is old. Bye. And that was kind of the extent of the conversation I had with the game. But yeah, I would say this is the most I really played it. I got all the way to Norfair, if you can believe it. So, and that was without save states or anything or any rewinding.
I'm like, proud.
Yeah. And by that point, I was like, all right, you know what? I think
I got a taste.
It was, I don't know if it was like, I can't crouch jump and shoot, or I can't, there's no map, there, I've got no HP, and it takes 15 minutes to heal up, because you have to go to these, like, endless pits that spew enemies to heal, and sometimes they give you 10 health, sometimes they'll give you 5, and it's really annoying.
God bless those pits, though.
Yeah. They're like...
You can just sit there, camp out, pull up a chair.
That's kind of what it felt like. At that point I was kind of like, I'm done. And then I remembered that there's an SP version on the, I didn't remember. I backed out of the game and was getting ready to turn it off. And I saw that there was an SP version right next to it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And, this version is where you like start kind of buffed up already. You've got all the items, all the equipment, including the ice beam, which I guess is OP. And you start right before, Ridley. And you can fight him right away. And that was pretty cool. I did get to experience that. I didn't get to experience the entire trek to get to him, but I did experience the fight. And it is kind of cool to be able to experience it, but you start off so buff. It's like, there's no challenge in it. It was really just kind of like, okay, there's the sprite. I guess I'm killing it now.
But that's kind of what, like, I feel like the Ridley boss battle always has been.
That's certainly the Ridley boss battle in Zero Mission.
Yeah, where just go there, definitely. Fire off a bunch of missiles, and then like, oh, he's dead.
I'm here! Oh, no!
Yeah, when I got to Zero Mission after this, I was like, wow, it's just like the SP version. But yeah, very neat. It was, I have to say, like, just kind of sitting on the title screen, it was kind of weird to, like, be kind of captivated by an NES game and how, like,
it's a good title screen.
The music is so good in the title of Metroid.
Hip Tanaka, man.
Yeah, it was really neat. And you know, like, it's kind of interesting that, like, the NES weirdly, like, backs up Metroid in terms of its aesthetic. You know, the limitations work in the aesthetics and the style favor. With that black background and like having such little visual detail around you, it kind of just lumps on to like what they're going for in terms of mood. And that part of it I was very captivated by. The gameplay I was kind of getting frustrated with, but overall, you know, I enjoyed my short romp through apparently it's called Zebes. I was saying Zebes, but
well, according to the title screen, it's called Zebeth.
Zebeth.
That's just a transliteration Eris. Of the Japanese.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, but if you're interested, I would definitely recommend checking out the SP version too, if you just want to at least be able to run a little longer than when I did. But I didn't go all the way. I didn't try to find. I'd imagine because you start
probably where you start. Craig's probably already dead.
Yeah, Craig. You probably can't find Craig because he's probably dead already. And I guess from there, it's just the run to Turian. And I was like,
You don't have to. You don't have to fight them in order. So it's possible it's possible that the SP version allows you for both. I haven't looked at it too much. There's also a well-known password that if you go to the password screen, you can put in. It's Justin Bailey. And I think it's like dashes or dashes below it. And you get, let's see here. You start in Norfair with 5 energy tanks, 255 missiles, various suit, high jump boots, screw attack and wave beam. Oh, and both Kraid and Ridley are defeated, so never mind. That's kind of boring.
No, yeah.
actually glad that you mentioned passwords, because I was just thinking of, like, there's one other significant password that I know of, which I'm going to say right now. No one put this in your system, because it's it famously, like, will crash your game. And, like, if you used it on the 3DS Virtual Console version, then it could permanently brick your system.
Holy crap.
And it's really incredible, because the password is, and I quote, engage Ridley motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
there's also Narpa sword, which is another yep. password.
I think the password you mentioned, Matt, I think it's because, like, the NES thinks it's been running for, like, hundreds of hours or something. Yes. And it can't handle that, and the 3DS is the exact same way, so it
yes the game thinks that it has been running for 314 and a half years. Yeah. people have also, like, looked at, like, what the password does with the game's RAM. And if you were to somehow get the game to function after putting in the password, the save state that it loads has Ridley dead.
So you can't even engage him.
I'm looking at a list of other famous Metroid passwords. There's one that's Mother Brain, fucking toast. Mother Brain's already defeated.
Is there a question mark in that password?
Yeah. Yes, there is. And toast has two S's.
Oh wow.
I miss the part of me misses those passwords, those game genie codes of, like, did you try this to do this in this game?
There was a Metroid password generator application for Windows that I downloaded some years ago, where you could basically, like, check the boxes of the things that you wanted, and it would just give you a password you could use.
And that generator is possible because, like, the way that it works, a lot of people, like, think that these passwords were, like, in some way like pre-made, handmade for their purposes, but it's really just, like, the computer is just generating them on the fly, and the ones that are, like, famous are just really funny coincidences.
Right.
Yeah. And with this being my first time playing the game for realsies, I have no ambition of finishing it, but I think at least trying it and using these codes might be a really fun way to experience more of it, because I don't want to keep playing it the way that it was released. I'm kind of past it at this point.
For sure. For sure.
So John, do you have any memories of Metroid? Because I think you didn't play it until after you played Prime, right?
Yeah. So Prime was the first Metroid game I ever played. And around the same time that I played Prime, like, I got really into that, and then found out that my brother-in-law also was super into Metroid, but didn't have a GameCube. And so we wound up kind of doing this exchange of him playing my copy of Prime, and then him bringing over the original Metroid and Super Metroid. And that's how I wound up playing those for the first time. But honestly, I think most of the time that I spent playing the original Metroid was via the Game Boy Advance, not the Zero Mission, but the Game Boy Advance port or cart.
The classic NES games.
Yeah, the classic NES version of Metroid, which I played a lot of, and I liked it, and I definitely never beat it.
Wait, they ported it as well? As
yeah, so
put
there
it
was
on?
A there was a very different time.
Yeah, it was like the worst deal in the world.
I think it was like 30, 40 bucks to get
what?
NES Metroid or Ice Climber.
Like Mario's 25th anniversary crap.
Which was included for free in Zero Mission, by the way.
That's what I was going to say. I played this game again after
you
I beat Zero
You could get
Zero
most of those games for free in Animal Crossing as well.
No. There was a certain amount of, like, collector bait here, because those games had the original marketing, like, labeling on them. So if you bought, like, the packaging, the cardboard box that it came in, the cartridge itself was, like, gray, the NES gray with, like, a black box label. So honestly, like, this was just total yeah. collector bait.
I mean, if you look at the fact that, like, what we're buying with collector's editions, and, like, it's a $10 indie game, I'm going to go buy the $50 limited edition. Like, it's not that different.
And just to be clear, it wasn't just Metroid. It was, like, there was, like, about 15 NES games, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, and oh, they yeah. like,
Metroid is just the one that was, like, just blatantly a scam.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Well, I mean, like, I think they tried to sell you Ice Climber for $30. And
I mean, selling Ice Climber in any capacity is a scam.
But. And what I'll say about these is that, like, as someone who, like, as a kid, like, my first Nintendo was the Super Nintendo, so I didn't grow up with an NES. And I didn't finish games, so I definitely didn't unlock Zero Mission or didn't unlock Metroid in the other Metroid games. And so I bought, I had Metroid, I had Zelda, I had Zelda 2, I had Mario. Like I, this, that was actually how I played a lot of NES games, was via those Game Boy Advance things. Cause I mean, there was no virtual console at the time.
You could have also, you could have bought Pac-Man for $30. The NES version of Pac-Man. The NES version of Donkey Kong.
That's probably better than Pac-Man.
The NES version of Excitebike.
That's weren't they fair. The wasn't it the same, the exact same like software as the e-reader cards too? Because outside of the $30 cartridges, they had also just recently released the e-reader, which, if you don't remember, was a device you plugged into your Game Boy Advance, and then you bought these little packs of cards that you could scan six of them to load an NES game. They were very hard to scan. You had to drag them through about as slow as possible. But if you scan both sides of six trading card sized cards, you could unlock Ice Climber, for example. And I'm pretty sure that like the code base that formed those releases was identical to what was on these $30 cartridges.
I'll also correct, they were $20. They weren't $30.
Okay.
For the record.
Taking your time to have to slowly scan a trading card to play Ice Climber should be in the Geneva Conventions.
I tried last winter, actually.
Xander's actually recording from jail.
But yeah, I tried doing it, and I actually got to the last card, and the part of the edge was ripped, and I wasn't able to do it. And I,
oh no,
yeah, it was kind of like a sitcom level joke. I'm like, oh well, yeah, that sucks.
Well, I think that's pretty much NES Metroid. Does anybody have any final thoughts before we move on to Zero Mission?
I've said on Slack when we've talked about Metroid games before, and this is genuinely how I play Metroid. The only hit point that matters is your last one, and that thing in NES Metroid where you always start with 35, it really goes against that kind of play style, because in other Metroid games I'll just like, I will run through things, I will tank hits, like I skip the various suit in some runs because you just go through the superheated rooms and don't care. And that is just not the kind of play style that you can do in Metroid. You need to be NES Metroid. You need to be so methodical and careful to a degree that I just feel like makes the game less fun, because every other Metroid game has movement feel really fun and engaging, and NES Metroid just doesn't have that for me.
So what you're saying is, when I come in a few minutes and say that Metroid Zero Mission feels like you don't have to be careful and methodical and it's too easy,
easy.
We're going to agree on everything except for the like perspective.
I think Super Metroid is better than Zero Mission, so I'm not going to be like totally against what you're saying. But like, yeah, yep, Zero Mission is super easy. And that is like, I totally, totally get liking NES Metroid more. And like, I even get like the way that you say, like, you know, you wouldn't genuinely try to convince someone that it's like a great game or anything, but it's a game that means a lot to you. Cause like, hey, my childhood favorite game was Sonic Adventure 2. How much room do I have to talk?
And I will tell you, it was wild to go from like repeated runs through Metroid on NES to Zero Mission. And like in my brain, they're similar. And then you play them back to back, and they're really not as similar.
No, that stood out to me as well. I guess before we move on, Matt, you did play, what is it, Metroid Mother is like the updated, the ROM hack for Metroid 1?
Yeah, briefly. It is called Metroid Mother. It is stylized. Mother has a lowercase m, and other is capitalized. So I wonder if it's a reference to something. So it is actually a compilation of three other ROM hacks. Metroid Mother, the compilation was made by someone that goes by the name of Dace. And it is a combination of ROM hacks by Snarfblam, Infinity's End, and Demic 12. And basically what it does is it adds a lot of quality of life upgrades to the original Metroid, as well as revamps a lot of the graphics. It adds a minimap. It adds save files to the NES version. It adds beam stacking. It improves the ice beam and bombs. It revamps every single boss fight. So Kraid, Ridley, and Mother Brain are all revamped to be, I assume, better. I didn't get that far before I quit, because it's at the end of the day, it's still NES Metroid. And it does a big graphical overhaul to the entire game. So it helps with kind of the problem that the game has, where everything just kind of looks really samey. So it's difficult to kind of tell where you are on the map. So overall, it is probably the best way to play NES Metroid if you have never played it before. Although what it weirdly does not do is it does not change the fact that you spawn with 35 health.
30 health, by the way.
Oh, 30 health.
I can't take it anymore. It's 30.
Even better.
You've been holding on to that the whole time.
I'm Googling this right now. I'm going to play this and I'll report back.
Yeah, I did briefly try it. But at the end of the day, it's still NES Metroid. So I just couldn't get through it. So I'm just going to have to take the description's word for most of those changes. The graphics are definitely pretty, though. So,
yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's a pretty nice upgrade. Honestly, I'm very excited to try this out.
Yeah, if you want to be experiencing like the music, which is really good in the NES version, and the all the sprite work of the world without having to really sacrifice all the gameplay too much, that sounds like a good route to explore.
Absolutely.
So now let's move on to Metroid Zero Mission, which came out on the Game Boy Advance in 2004, which, if we want to feel really old, so it came out, 18 years after, right? That seems wrong. But yeah, 18 years after Metroid 1 came out, Metroid Zero Mission came out. If we are playing Score at home, it has been longer than 18 years since Metroid Prime came out.
But also it's worth pointing out that Metroid Zero Mission came out during NWR's fifth year.
Yes. Yeah. So we are also old. So Metroid Zero Mission came out in 2004. The Game Boy Advance came out, or I think it was the beginning of that year. So that was when the DS came out. So the Game Boy Advance was kind of going through its weird finale over the next year or two. And it followed up Metroid Fusion, which we'll talk about as we get closer to Metroid Dread, because we're doing these games in, I guess it's not chronological order. It kind of is, technically, but I don't know. It's weird.
Chronological by the story.
Numbered order.
Story order.
Dimensional narrative order. Yeah.
But Metroid Zero Mission was also the last 2D Metroid, I guess traditional 2D Metroid, because I guess Other M kind of counts, until Samus Returns in 2017. So this had a lot on its plate. It was remaking the original Metroid, and we didn't know it at the time, but it would be the last Metroid for a long time. And I mean, it's I think inarguably a good game. It might be some variance about whether you think it's the best game or not. But I definitely have memories of playing it a couple years after launch. I don't think I was there day one. But I fell in love with this game. It kind of reignited a flame for the Metroid series that I didn't lose.
Just in time for it to end.
Yeah, basically. Because I played Super Metroid sometime when I was in middle school and thought that was really good. I never played Fusion until 3DS, the Ambassador games. That was the first time I played through Fusion. And I played Prime 1, but I didn't like Prime 2 as much. And I guess, Prime 2 would have been after this, but I didn't play it until after Prime 2. Zero Mission was a game that I just played through three times in the span of matter of days and absolutely adored. And yeah, that's what I kind of come with my baggage into playing it now. Every time it would be re-released in any capacity, or anytime I'd find my Game Boy Micro, I'd just play through it again, because it's just a really fun, quick game.
I very much vibe with the idea of finding your Game Boy Micro and just going, I need to play some Game Boy games.
Yo, man, what else is there? It's either that or Tony Hawk 2. But John, you played it around launch, right?
Yeah, I don't remember. I definitely didn't get it at launch. So this was 2004. So I was 12 when this came out. And I definitely didn't play it right at launch, but I got it, I think, as a gift at some point that year. And the weird thing I remember about it from the ads is I remember it always being pitched as, the origin story of Metroid. And so in my head, I thought before it came out that it was a prequel to the original Metroid. And then I played it and it took me a second to be like, this seems really familiar. And this
is just legitimately the exact game.
Yeah, this seems kind of like the other game I played, which honestly kind of I was a little disappointed in the game that it obviously wasn't and that I had no reason to think it was. But no, then I eventually went back and yeah, I don't think it's honestly been until like this year, right before Dread was announced, I had just started a replay of Super Metroid. And so I went straight from Super Metroid to Zero Mission. And Super Metroid is a wonderful game and I like it a whole lot. But hot damn, I prefer Zero Mission. This is like, as far as like kind of the, I feel like there's this gap between like the 16-bit style Metroid and like Samus Returns and presumably Metroid Dread, the 2.5D Metroids. And as far as that 16-bit style Metroid goes, this is in my mind the peak.
Well, it's wild too, because like, I don't want to sequence break the conversation too much, but like when they released Metroid Fusion, I was blown away by how Samus moved. Like,
yeah,
so it felt like I was playing a Ninja Gaiden game.
Yeah,
like that's always the analog that I come to when I like play Fusion, and Zero Mission just, I think, takes it up a little bit faster. Samus wasn't meant to be like a speedster in the original games, but they decided to make her into like a Ferrari.
The thing I like about it is it as far as just like your perception of the character of Samus and the story in the Game Boy Advance ones, and also in like in Samus Returns, she really feels just like powerful and like a superhero and like someone who could just rip and tear her way through a planet full of vampire bubbles. And I like that. It is very satisfying to rip through enemies as Samus in the later 2D games. Super Metroid, I still to this day feel, even like for the time that it came out, that game feels a little clunky. It's not bad by any means, but I think Zero Mission stands as an example of like they also thought it was a little bit clunky.
If I were to take the four 2D Metroid games, not including Metroid 2, because I haven't really played it, so I can't judge, but Metroid, Super Metroid, Zero Mission, and Fusion, you told me I had to put them into two buckets, controls good and doesn't control good. Super Metroid goes in the same bucket as NES Metroid, because like, oh, in both
it's
of
very
those,
heavy.
It's oh, very okay. heavy. Samus okay. is a tank in both of those games.
Yeah, I agree.
Samus is a walking tank, and then you go into the Game Boy Advance games and she feels like,
but like
a
one
ninja.
Of them is good. And the other one's not.
But like, if I'm comparing all four of them, Super Metroid is closer to Metroid than it is to Zero Mission or Fusion.
It as in terms of how Samus moves, yeah, I 100% agree with you. And I'm mostly just talking at this point to frustrate Matt as he waits for me to stop talking so that he can make his counterpoint.
It's a Metroid filibuster.
The thing about the difference between Super Metroid and the GBA Metroid era, which I'll kind of put Zero Mission and Fusion together in that camp because they do play very similar.
Sure.
Yeah.
The structure of the games are very different, but the controls are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like similar engine and everything.
Yeah. Except the wall jump in Zero Mission is actually good. the difference between them, this is the way that a friend of mine described it a while back, and I think it really captures this perfectly. Super Metroid is like a manual car. And the GBA Metroids are like an automatic car. An automatic car like the GBA Metroids, many people would say that it's just kind of better. Like you put your hands on it and it just works in a way that the manual car just isn't going to do. It's intuitive and it feels natural and it just makes you feel like you're able to do things easier and better than with a manual car. But the people that actually know how to drive manual cars will tell you that the manual car really at the end of the day gives you so much more control and really lets you do what you want to do better than an automatic car can, because it lets you specifically choose what you're doing. So while it has a much more difficult curve up front in order to use it efficiently and properly, the end result at the highest level of play, or a highest level of play for a car, the metaphor is getting away from me a little bit, but at the highest skill level, you're gonna get better results out of the manual car, out of Super Metroid, than you will out of the automatic car, out of the GBA Metroids. And I'm not gonna tell you that like you're wrong for preferring an automatic car or a manual car, and I think all of us would probably agree with that. And I see the Metroid games as being the exact same thing.
Oh my god, this is insanity. I'm sitting here with my jaw agape at this.
That makes a lot of sense. I agree with that metaphor.
So to open my argument, bullshit.
I drive a manual, or I used to drive a manual. I prefer to drive a manual, but I still like Zero Mission better.
So here's I get to an extent, but and I think we're talking about two slightly different perspectives on the controls. When I say that Samus controls better in
that's okay. You said manga in the Chozo video, so you know
that wasn't me. Fine. That was Neil. That was so me. I'm safe.
You didn't stop him.
I will say, Matt, that was on purpose.
Thank God. See, you're listening to my strategy. Get that engagement up from the YouTube comments.
There's sometimes where I look at a word and I'm like, I'm just gonna do it dumb.
Oh, no. So when I say that Zero Mission and Fusion control better, it's I agree with you that I think Super Metroid, there are things that you can kind of cheese in Super Metroid that I think the improved controls of Zero Mission make it more difficult to do that. And I think that's where kind of like the manual transmission thing comes in. Like you have that customization. But what I would say works so much better in the Game Boy Advance games is, like, you know, in Metroid, when you have to like jump from one platform to another and you want to land on that platform, well, that's where Zero Mission is so much better. Is just the ability to make Samus go where you want her to go.
So I do have something that I can say in response to that, but I was planning on largely being positive towards Zero Mission, and we are going to talk about Super Metroid in 2 months.
Yeah, and I'll have negative things to, when we get to Super Metroid, then I'm going to hurt you back. So, yeah.
Yeah, I do want to continue that conversation, but I feel like that is a conversation better had.
Yeah, I think that's a Super Metroid conversation. Like, I will say that in this kind of debate, like, no, the way that Samus controls in Zero Mission is freaking incredible. Like, I mean, it's just even simple things like how they work in diagonal aiming to it. Like, it just works really well, even with the limited buttons on the GBA.
And I will also just tease, she controls even better in Samus Returns.
Oh, yeah.
Which I wouldn't have said until now playing them back to back. And like, because I have always thought like Zero Mission peak Samus controls. But now then moving on from that to Samus Returns, I'm like, oh, this is incredible. Like this feels so good. And a lot of that's the 360 aiming, but just her movement in general feels good.
Yeah. But I mean, I just feel like Zero Mission, especially in this replay, I feel like some of the flaws poked out at me more.
Sure.
Like I remember, and this is, I guess it's probably around the time when I played Zero Mission, so somewhat relevant. I remember walking out of the Incredible Hulk movie, the Edward Norton one, back the early MCU. Walking out of that movie and being like, man, I think that's the best Hulk movie in this style that they could ever make. It wasn't a great movie, but it was like, I think this is the best version of what they can do with this form of the character. And that's, well, I do like Zero Mission. If I were to review it, it'd be like a 9 or a 9.5 easy. And I think that game's incredible, but it feels like it's the best modernized-ish version of NES Metroid that they could possibly make. Like there's some like the, it's basically like stretching skin over a skeleton, and there's some weird shaping parts, but like it's still pretty smooth and it looks like a human.
At least the missile doors open in a single hit.
That is true. And also as far as warts that leapt out, I think the music kind of sounds like shit in this game. It's, oh my god. Like, I don't remember it sounding that bad. I played it on Wii U.
I was
so going to
say,
play it on OG hardware.
If you play it on... So I played through it on a micro, and if you play it on the garbage speakers it was intended to be played on, it kind of sounds okay.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't sound good. Like, don't wear headphones, for the love of God. But like, yeah, no, playing
how about,
it, I did
how
put
about
it
a
on,
surround sound setup with the virtual
no,
console version?
No, you deserve better. But yeah, it's
I want to hear that fuzz real yeah.
Oh, I play even playing it on like the Game Boy player on the GameCube, like it's like but no, playing it on the actual system it was designed to be playing, Weird pull, but the same thing goes for like Kid Icarus Uprising. If you listen to that game has one of the best soundtracks of all time on the system. Sounds amazing. If you listen to it untreated on an actual speaker, it sounds like butt. So some of these games are just, they are mixed in a way that sounds perfectly okay on the system they were intended to be played on. And if you take them off of that, then it's at your own risk.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the kind of thing where it's still disappointing. Because I think that some of that atmospheric musical touch and flair of a Metroid game is super important to me, like especially playing the Famicom version before this and then going to that and being like it just kind of like nails on a chalkboard for part of it.
I wonder, I would take a ROM hack that just, if you just
improve,
take that entire soundtrack and run a low pass filter over it, it pretty much fixes the problem. So I would definitely take a ROM hack that just replaces all the music and sound with that.
This is probably old news to you guys, but I remember stumbling across something on Twitter fairly recently where someone was able to like extract the audio files from like Super Mario World and like rerun them through.
So it's pretty cool, but that's not what the songs were meant to be.
No, but it sounded really cool.
And in the case of Zero Mission, maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
So Zero Mission kind of came out of like, as far as like me having memories of this time of my life, it came out of like at the exact worst time of my life. Like everything of my life before like I got to high school is just a total blur. But I do know that I played a lot of the game and I have memories at least of like playing it enough to like do sequence breaking when I was a kid, to the point that I just kind of knew how to do the early super missiles when I kind of picked it up most recently. And the time that I would say is when I really got back into playing Zero Mission was sometime last year. I just happened to have grabbed like a ton of virtual console games on Wii U. And at the time, a tabletop roleplay session that I was in, the party split up into two groups. And the group that I was not in was fighting a boss fight at the time. So I was just sitting in a Discord call listening to it. And they were doing a terrible job. And the GM was DMing me about how like they were just missing all of his hints and it was taking forever. So I decided to just load up Zero Mission on Wii U. And I was like, let's see if I can finish this entire game before they finish this boss fight. And I did. And that was the first time in like at least a decade that I had played Zero Mission. And so much of it just kind of came back to me in that moment. I remembered so much of my way around. And in that run, I got the early super missiles. I'm sure there was some latent memory of doing it as a kid, but I definitely, it felt like I was discovering it for the first time there. And it was just kind of a really special moment. Playing that, and I'm looking at, I had a picture of my clear time right now that I'm looking at. It was 2 hours, 4 minutes, 45 seconds. And
that must have been the D&D session from hell.
It really was. It ended at like 3 a.m. but I would play the game again about a month later to get footage for like our archive of footage. And my clear time then was 1 hour, 43:13. So that kind of got me into the mindset of like, this is a game that I feel like I can learn more and get better at.
I understand that completely.
And when I picked it back up for the game club, my first run was 122.01. And then I managed to grind that down to under an hour. And that sub hour run was like, It was really cool to be like, okay, I can probably skip the long beam. I can skip the various suit. I can skip the wave beam. I figured out how to get the high jump early. I got the super missiles early. And it was just kind of like optimizing everything of like, what can this game let me get away with? And kind of figuring that out, because I'm a big fan of like watching speedruns and everything. And I've never really felt that I'm good enough or have the time enough to really learn a speedrun. And this is the first time that I've really gotten to experience that in my own way. I am nowhere near real Zero Mission speedrunners because their best time is down to like 30 minutes. But
what was your time again?
It was 55:13.
What difficulty?
Oh, okay.
That was on normal difficulty. I am purposely not 13. Playing hard difficulty yet because we're kind of close to zero mission for Smashterpieces. And I figure if I save hard mode for Smashterpieces, I'll at least have some level of like newness to that stream.
Well, so. I'll tell you, I mean, that puts you on the leaderboard. So, I mean,
yeah, but that's not real time. I haven't I did die during that run. That's my in-game clear time.
Oh, but, okay. Gotcha.
I mean, that is a better in-game clear time than like some of the people on the leaderboard have. So
gotcha.
I would consider myself not a real speed runner for this game, but probably in the higher level of just like people in the world playing it. And that's not like a matter of bragging. All I did was just sit down and play it for an ungodly amount of time. but it just felt really good to get better at that game and figure it out and devise strategies as to where I could save time and what I could do, what health and missile upgrades I was willing to pass on and which ones I felt like, no, I'm not going to survive if I don't have these. And getting fights down to a science, like Kraid, I can beat before he like destroys the platforms that you're standing on.
Wow.
Ridley is just the easiest fight in the fucking game.
That's not a speedrunning technique for Ridley. You just shoot him a couple times.
Ridley shows up and it's just like dead.
Imago, that giant fly that you get the super missile from, don't even fight him. I get the super missile early. Haven't fought him in like 10 years.
So I'm curious. I haven't played enough Zero Mission to really understand the strategy you're talking about. Early super missile, is that a strategy the game designers intended, or did you find a glitch?
Kind of both.
Okay.
When I look at, so the way that you get the early super missiles is that for those of you who are familiar with the game, in the first area that you fight the charge beam worm, if in that exact spot you do a shine spark in morph ball form to go to the left, and you will like go through like three rooms to do this. From there, you can get straight into a super missile upgrade. And on the one hand, like obviously you're not supposed to do that early because then you just skip like entire sections of the game. You skip an entire boss fight.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at this and like if that's not the intended strategy, I literally cannot figure out what is the intended strategy because that's legitimately the only way I can figure out how to do it. And you can do it as soon as you get the high jump, which is
awesome,
which is before you're supposed to have the super missiles.
So like my thought when I was playing through Zero Mission was mostly like centered on I'm really mad at how open this game isn't. Like you get one item, you have like three places to check out at most. You get the next item, you have two places to check out. And I'm wondering
it's very narrow.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if maybe like the openness is there. It's just much, much deeper and more, you know, meant to be stumbled across by like expert players rather than by most typical players.
That is exactly the case. And I can actually give you a couple examples there. One of the ones that jumps out at me immediately is right at the beginning of the game when you need to get the long beam, because otherwise you can't shoot far enough to get through to break open the blocks to get to the door to go over to the corridor, the vertical corridor on the right hand side. You can just shoot through the top end of that and skip the long beam. You don't need the Varus suit at all if you're not a coward.
this will come back up in our Super Metroid discussion of Matt missing entire rooms that I'm trying to talk about because he's just like, I don't need to not take damage.
I've skipped Varia too in my NES runs. That was the last major thing that I checked off my list recently.
Right after you get the ice beam, you can go straight to Ridley because there is a hidden block in like the top right corner of the Norfair map that you can shoot open with a missile. And it's just a vertical shaft that goes straight down to the bottom of Norfair.
So that's obviously intentional.
Yes. From there, you can either go straight to Ridley or you can be like, I don't want to fight Ridley yet, but here's the high jump. If you go to Ridley that way, then you skip the entire wave beam.
Yeah. So that's not even sequence breaking. That's just a secret, you know, like it does definitely seem like they intend for you to find that, which
that's
is cool.
Awesome.
So
I would definitely want to play Zero Mission again.
I would definitely agree that, yes, Zero Mission feels a lot more constrained the first time you play it. And the hint system doesn't help. I dislike the hint system. My philosophy on hint systems is that their existence is good. And I think it is always a good thing to make a game more accessible to players, but they should be optional. They should be something that experienced players can make the choice to ignore. And the hint system, which there are 7 Chozo statues in the game that will point you directly to an item. First of all, I'll say, admittedly, it's not that bad, because one of the first ones points you to the ice beam in Norfair, and you go down to Norfair, you head over to where the ice beam is, and you just can't get to it.
Right. That was my thought, was like, the hints are pretty useless, because very quickly you find out that your routes are entirely cut off until you go to the place on the map.
Yes. So what you have to do is go the exact opposite direction and get the power grip. Then you can go get the ice beam. And part of me kind of likes that, because it's still got that exploration element while giving you a general idea of where to go. It still tells you that Norfair is the right place to be, but it's hit or miss. And a lot of people will tell you, if you argue that you just want them to be optional, they'll tell you, well, you can just skip the Chozo statues.
But can't.
Yeah. Of those 7 Chozo statues, only 3 of them can be jumped over. The rest of them are like floor to ceiling, complete barrier you cannot pass. Of those 4, only 1 of them is blocking an optional area. And then of those remaining 3, only 1 of them can be sequence broken past. There are 2 Chozo statues that, even at the highest level of play where you know what you're doing, you are still forced to get. And over half of them will block out areas of the game if you do not get the hint. So I would definitely argue there are some of them that are skippable, but most of them are not. And I consider that a problem in a game that is so heavily based around exploration. I think it is good to give players that option, but if it's like a much less egregious version of the Fi problem in Skyward Sword. Fi is an order of magnitude worse, but it's the same general neighborhood of a problem.
It's something that Nintendo just historically has always done, where they're trying to, you know, with Zero Mission specifically, they're trying to play to people who sequence broke the original game, and that speed running mentality. And they're also trying to make a game that appeals to the widest audience that they possibly can. And I mean, they've had good instances of that super guide feature.
Say in the last decade or so, they got really good at making it optional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I think Skyward Sword is one of the most egregious. And I do kind of agree with you. Like, I was kind of paying attention to it. I didn't have the stats that you did, but I was paying attention to that in Zero Mission. I'm like, oh, like, you can't avoid a lot of these. Mm-hmm.
The game takes me less than an hour, so I could just do a run literally to count them.
But like, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, but I do agree that if you're going to do something like that in a game that's based around like free map exploration, it make them optional. And that's why I like what they did in Samus Returns with the scan pulse, because I think you might be forced to do it once early on, and then after that you just never have to use it.
I don't even know if you're forced to so I just did that part, and I think they just tell you how to do it, and then you need to like bomb to get out of that room. But
I think the scan pulse is a perfect compromise, because players that need it have it easily accessible at all times, and players that and for me, I can just tear that button out of my 3DS.
Yeah. Don't.
Samus Returns also has and we can talk about this more when we get to the game, but it all, even like the tracking down the Metroids, if you go to that big old statue in each area, it'll give you a hint as to where the next one is.
Yeah.
But I don't think you ever actually have to do that. I think you can just go looking for more without finding those.
Yeah, you could. I think you can just basically like bomb around. Like I'm trying to remember when I first played through that game. I think there might have been a time or two where I'm like, all right, where's the last one? Okay, it's over in that direction.
It is nice to when it's just like, I don't know, tell me.
But that's also like, because a lot of different people are going to be playing these games, I just like having that flexibility. I am curious, Xander. This was your first time playing Zero Mission, right?
Yes.
So what did you think about how the game kind of, you know, I guess, led you along, whether it's by hint systems or just by the design of the map?
I'm not disputing anything Matt has said about it being like a pain, especially since if you're replaying it, I didn't realize when I was playing it that it was there was no option to skip some of those Chozo statues. I just kind of hopped in and was like, ooh, where am I going now? And I liked that it didn't reveal the map to me. It just kind of showed me the general area. So that way, in my head, when I was playing it, I kind of mapped out in my own brain, like, okay, I need to be going down this shaft kind of towards the right to get to the general area where that dot was. That's kind of where they're leading me. I didn't have to necessarily beeline it. I could kind of stop in smaller roses. But I think also this was my first time playing it, so I didn't really know what was around the corner. I was just kind of exploring everything. I think if you're replaying it, and like you said, this is kind of catered a little bit more towards speed running with the speed aspect, then maybe that illusion is lost on a repeat playthrough, because you know exactly where to go. You kind of go through that optimization. So as far as a first time playthrough, I really enjoyed it. I think my play time was like 8 hours exactly, but the in-game clock said 4:20:20.
So the in-game clock only counts time that you are actively participating. So it doesn't count cutscenes, it doesn't count transitions between rooms, and it doesn't count like times that you're looking at messages and the pause screen and everything.
Well, I so felt like I blazed through the game is my point. but yeah, it was pretty enjoyable. I don't want to backtrack too far, but when you guys were comparing this and ranking this to the other 2D Metroids in terms of like Samus's mobility, especially compared to how similar it is to Fusion and how different it is compared to Super, I don't really have a horse in that race, because this is the first time I've ever even beaten a Metroid game, so that was kind of cool. But I thought her jump was terrible. So if this is the pinnacle for some people, that is incredibly worrying.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you need to get good at wall jumps, so you can just wall jump straight up an entire 30-foot corridor.
Yeah, there were times I'd pause this game like, Samus, honey, you gotta go vertical. Like,
I definitely think they made the jump feel a little bad in order to make it feel really good when you get the high jump.
Yeah.
And in fairness, Super Metroid does that exact same thing.
Yeah. Cool. I won't. This is a bad example to use because this is a sore point for I think a lot of players. But when I got to the Mother Brain fight, trying to just get out of that lava pit for an hour,
it sucks.
Yeah,
it was rough. So,
Mother Brain, I have very complicated feelings on, because once you get to that speedrun proficiency level, that fight is like one of the most fun things in the entire franchise. But until you are like literally top 150 on the speedrun leaderboard, what the fuck is going on? What is that?
I think so. And I talked about this a little bit in the Discord chat. By the way, if you're not on the NWR Discord, you can join it and talk about the Metroid Game Club. If you go to NintendoWorldReport.com and click on the chat button, it will give you a public invite to it, I believe.
Oh, we should change that to say Discord.
If not, John, you should edit this part out. Make sure to check that link before you put this part in.
I just checked it. It does. We should change that to say Discord, I think.
All right.
That's a legacy button right there.
It is. Yep. We've repurposed an old button. Oh, what I was going to say is the Metroid series. Okay. The 2D Metroid series as a whole, I think, has really bad boss fights. They are all either hilariously easy, aka Ridley and Zero Mission.
Yeah, just missile sponges.
Or they're just stupid, like the Mother Brain fight, where it's like, do you guys
spider infusion?
Right. Do you guys think the Cheerios are enough? No. We should also have random laser turrets. Oh, and you should only be able to stand on these two blocks, and there should be lava which the laser turrets shoot you back into, and then Mother Brain should also have a laser cannon in her eye.
John, all you need to do is screw attack through the Cheerios, get to the top right block, wait for her to fire, jump back down, screw attack through the projectiles, fire exactly 5 missiles, and then jump back up and wait for it to repeat. It's simple. It's all
that
you
is
gotta
roughly,
do.
That is roughly what I wound up doing. But in between that, there was always a phase where it would be like jump down from the block, screw attack through the lasers, fall into the lava, get back on the block, get shot off the block by the lasers, get back on the block, accidentally more fall. Like,
it's so stupid. Like, it's like I said, I literally had to get to the point where I was like number 150 on the speedrun leaderboards before I started enjoying that fight. It's unbelievable.
It's the thing. It's very consistent across the entire 2D Metroid franchise. So I kind of like. I get to a boss in one of these games and it's just like, all right, here we go.
Great.
But they're just for how, like, for what benchmarks so much of the rest of the game is, it is hilarious how bad the bosses are.
The actual final boss is like hilariously easy.
Yeah, even I thought that was like,
yeah,
once I figured out what to do.
Well, once again, Ridley's a pushover.
Yeah.
Except
yeah,
for
yeah, that was
there's a few Ridley sites that are tough, or Ridley fights that are tough, but not many.
I did have more trouble. I had more trouble with the Ridley fight in Super Metroid, which we'll get to, but I think that's just because the platform is a little bit like the pattern seems almost identical. But I think the platform is a little bit more awkward to deal with.
Super Metroid Ridley, I think he has more invincibility points. Like, you need to really carefully aim to hit him.
Yeah.
And Zero Mission Ridley, you can just unload your entire clip of super missiles and he's
never
dead.
He never even got to the pattern in Super Metroid where he would start to pick me up.
So I actually died to Ridley a few times because that's kind of been something I noticed with when I was playing is all the bosses, I just didn't know what to do. And so I would die just from like sheer like confusion.
Yeah, I remember your Kraid confusion of just not knowing what to
Kraid
hit on him.
Kraid's mouth is a tiny little hitbox.
If you sequence break and fight Ridley first so that you have the super missiles when you're fighting Kraid. 4 super missiles kills him, you can literally end the fight before he gets out of the fight is starting and he's roaring at you animation. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah. So when I was fighting Ridley, you know, he picked you up and like that was your opportunity to just wail on him, but I didn't really realize that he was like rapidly draining my health as I was dangling in the air. And so once I died from that, I was like, okay, that can't be the way to kill him, even though I'm able to like actually hurt him. So I guess I just gotta do this on foot. And then once I did that, I was like, oh, okay, that's way easier. Kraid, on the other hand, is a whole other beast, and I've outlined this in the Discord, but I thought, okay, well, he's got big red eyes, this is a Nintendo game, like, surely that's going to be my...
Shoot his hands!
Yeah, but I went for the eyes. That didn't work.
Well, you do have to hit his eyes, it's just then you have to hit his mouth.
Yeah, well,
in that order.
I hit the eyes, and the little missiles dinked off of him, and I was like, okay, I guess it's not the eyes, so I went, we're going down under. And so like,
if you hit his eyes dead on, then he like opens his mouth and screams. Okay. And that's when you shoot in.
Yeah.
But both of those are awkwardly small hitboxes.
Yeah,
if you
are.
Don't. And that's something that I've talked about a bit. I think the Metroid franchise has a little problem with player feedback at times where I think if you've played these games a lot, you forget about it. Like you're like, oh yeah, we shoot him in the face. He opens his mouth. Cool. But like the first time you play, you shoot him in the face and it doesn't do anything. And he goes, ah, and like I don't know that the games always do a great job of giving the player positive feedback on everything they're doing.
And I don't even think it's a Metroid thing. I think it's a certain style of like 2D video game thing.
It wasn't following like the trained eye that I have for playing a Nintendo game. Like it wasn't just following like the way they handle how you attack. You know, you attack something, it kind of glows red for a moment. You're like, okay, I'm doing damage. Like that.
If like hitting him in the eye, even if it was like, oh, he kind of stumbles for a second, and that like you could easily believe that the animation of him opening his mouth and roaring has nothing to do with you hit him in the eye.
What really threw me though was that when the missiles bounced off of him, I was like, okay, I guess that's not what I'm supposed to do. I was like, oh, well, he's really big. I could probably go down under. And so I started shooting him in the belly.
Yeah, his nipple holes look sensitive.
Yeah.
So I am looking at footage of the fight right now, and if you hit him somewhere that it literally does nothing, your missile bounces off. And if you hit him in his eye to open his mouth, the missile actually explodes. But mm-hmm. it's still not super obvious.
Yeah.
And when he doesn't like flash or anything, right? Like,
no, he does not.
Hit him in the stomach, though, there is like a I don't know if it's a flash or if like I think it's because the missile doesn't bounce off of his stomach. It actually explodes. That's what led me to think, oh, I'm actually doing damage to him. And because he's so big, I was thinking, oh, this isn't just like a typical like 3 hits, you're done Nintendo boss. This is like he's a really big guy. He's going to take a lot of hits. Let's just go to town. So I spent 20 minutes playing this game where I'm like running out of ammo, jumping over his little belly blasters, getting more ammo from the little claw swipes, going to town on him again, and then repeating that cycle. And after 20 minutes, I was like, okay, like he hasn't even changed color yet. Like there's got to be something wrong that I'm doing. And eventually I called it quits, and I think I inquired in the Discord, like, hey, I'm having some trouble with this. But, you know, once I, like, figured out what to do, I didn't think it was the hardest thing in the world. I still, like, kind of struggled a bit, but I thought it was, like, a decent fight, certainly better than the Ridley one. But, yeah, that fight was...
It's a fight that's difficult to figure out what to do and easy to actually do it, which, in my opinion, is kind of the opposite of what a boss fight should be.
When I was doing it, I'm thinking, like, he's shooting these platforms that are, like if they were just normal attacks, they wouldn't stick to the wall like this. Like, there has to be some reason for me to be up there. But whenever I went up there, like, it bounced right off of him. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. It's really strange.
Yeah.
But.
The Kraid fight feels like it's intended for you to do it, having already played Super Metroid and knowing how to do it. Okay. Because I think in Super Metroid, it's like exactly the same fight in Super Metroid, but it's presented a little better because the first half of the fight, Kraid is like halfway in the ground and you only see his top half. And then after you've done a little bit of damage, then he rises up out of the ground and you have to do the whole, like, 12 story thing.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
And so it's just another reason that Super Metroid is just a better game. Yeah. But it's it is definitely a problem of presentation. I definitely feel like they expected you to already know how to fight him.
I guess I know that the big red eye is kind of a trope in Nintendo games, but, like, you'd almost think that, like, they would have made his eyes a little bit more he has red eyes, but you think that you shoot the red doors with the missiles. You think that they would have, like, kind of stamped one of those a little bigger on his forehead or something.
You have to shoot his big red eye 5 times, and then it'll do damage.
Okay. That's what does it. Another aspect of just not knowing what to do is comes with those abilities. If I could change one thing, it would be, like, the addendum of having the option to view a demo of some kind of how to use some of these abilities. When I got the super speed running, I forget what that's called, where you run
the speed booster.
The speed booster. Yeah, I think you get it in the room with Kraid, and it said if you continuously run, you'll just plow through things. So I was like, okay. So I started running, and then I just I ran into a wall.
Yeah, you need to run, like, pretty much the entire length of where it is possible to run, which, even, like, I've played this game, like, 6 times in the last week, and I still, muscle memory is like, okay, just start running immediately. No, I needed to go all the way to the left first.
I think I had to go to the room to the left where the Chozo statue was. I think that's, like,
yes.
I was like, that's another thing. It's like, oh, you'd think when you go to another room, like, it would reset. You wouldn't be able to continue running, but, like, that wasn't very clear. But when I came out running like I was on fire, I was like, okay, now I know what to do. But it wasn't that long. It was like 5 minutes of struggling, but, like, eventually I got there. I think for that one, I had to ask for a hint from you, Matt. The one that I did all by myself was the double jump with the screw attack, and that, I was ready to put the controller down because I just could not get it to work.
is that right after you get the screw attack? I'm not sure what you
mean. No, it's when you get it from the Chozo statue in
the space jump.
Yes.
Yeah, the space jump. Well, okay, so I'll tell you right up front. It's even harder in Super Metroid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was about to ask, like, if that mechanic ever comes back, I'm going to be so mad, but it's great.
It's one of those things that it's hard for me just because, like, it is muscle memory. Yeah. Even how some of the jank in Super Metroid, I've played that game a lot over the past 20 plus years. And I just know how to do the space jump in, and I know how to do the stupid wall jump in that game.
Yeah, well, I was struggling, and it's like you don't jump up perfectly vertical, you jump up diagonally, and when it sometimes you can change midair, but like it's very finicky, and you can't press A right away. You have to kind of let yourself fall for a moment. It was again just a simple demo that would show you would have been great,
or just having it control a little better.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yeah,
that too.
So one of the big additions to Metroid Zero Mission, and I guess spoilers if you're an hour and a half into this podcast and have never played Zero Mission, but, like, played the original, I guess, because we've been kind of loosey goosey with that. It was a big surprise playing Zero Mission. You beat Mother Brain, you escape, and then you get shot down, and you lose your power suit, and you have to run around as Zero Suit Samus and basically play a stealth game for some time, and then you get the really kick-ass finale where you have the Chozo robot thing?
Iron Ted.
No. Even
that thing. The Chozo. Fuck the Chozo thing. I hate that fight so much.
It's a hard fight.
Oh my god, it's not even a hard fight. It's just a stupid fight.
The one with the giant statue one? Where you get the terrible jumping mechanic.
Yeah, it's so finicky with how little time there is to actually hit it. It's like the one fight in the game that I don't have down pat because it's just like, I just
a
hope
speed
you
runner's
predict.
Lament.
I just hope you predict when you need to be facing left.
I felt like I cheesed my way through that one because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just hitting it when I think I'm supposed to hit it, and then it worked.
You have to be like frame perfect on that last hit to get that missile off in time. Even if you are looking in the right direction, if you hesitate for a moment, you'll miss your window.
God, you really do. And it's got the lightning going at the same time. It's not a hard fight. I don't die there. It's just, I hate it.
In the early phases of that fight, the lightning seems to come from the weird mirror bubble. But
so
then,
I actually know exactly how it works. So
where does the lightning come from, Matt? Tell me.
So it can come from the center or it can come directly down on top of you. If it comes directly down on top of you, then it's just a lightning bolt. That's it. If it comes from the center, then it's also going to spread across the floor.
Is there anything that indicates which one it's going to be before it happens?
Yes. When it comes down in the center, then it's coming down in the center.
Thank you. Good. That clears it all up.
All right. Good to know.
When you take damage, it's coming down on top of you.
How do we all feel about the Zero Suit segment, the stealth segment? I am of the mind that I think it's pretty cool. I could hear an argument that you beat Mother Brain, the game should be over, but I actually really like the change of pace, and I think it makes for a pretty fun finale. That's the wholly unique aspect of this game is found in this epilogue.
I think that I both think that it's really cool and that it just kills the game's pace at the end. Because if you just take this sequence in isolation, I think it's a really cool idea because it does a great job of simultaneously showing you just how vulnerable Samus is without her power suit and just how much of a big deal that power suit is, while also showing you that she is still capable. She is not helpless. She is able to get through this section, and you feel that along with her. You feel the tension of the danger of infiltrating the space pirate ship and trying to come out on the other side and go to the Chozo ruins. I think that it handles that really well, and it feels like a perfect section to me because it's also like I saw some people in the Discord specifically complaining about this, but there are points where it forces you to be caught. And mm-hmm. I don't think that's a bad thing because it's not just a stealth section. It is also a section about you are in danger. Get to safety.
It's a narrative section, right? It's telling a story.
Yeah. Yes. And on top of that, there isn't anything that forces you to get caught. There are definitely multiple points where when you're playing for your first time, you will get caught and it's not your fault. But there is not a single point in the entire section where getting caught is unavoidable. And I think that that is a perfect compromise. I think that it lets them tell the narrative experience of this story on your first time, and then it lets you as the player know what you're doing and get the perfect run. I was going to say the second time, but statistically probably like the 11th time.
So I do think that it's placement kind of, it expects, or it works best if you know how the original Metroid ended. Like it works best as a surprise. I've seen some people say like, maybe this would have worked better in the middle of the game. And like, no, yeah, from a pacing. No. Yeah.
So despite all that praise I just gave this section, it works best in a different game.
And that game is called Metroid Dread, and it's coming out in October.
That's what I was going to get to, is it was crazy, like, playing through this again now, post the reveal of Dread, and just, like, getting to this part and going, oh, holy fuck. Like, this was clearly where he was going with this franchise, and then they cut him off for 20 years.
Especially considering that we know that he had the idea for Dread all along, tried to make it multiple times.
Like clearly right after this game.
Like clearly this is what was bouncing around his head, obviously.
Right.
Like
it's a weird proto Dread, and that so that's really cool. And I agree that from a story perspective is it's awesome. From a game design perspective, it's awesome. But yes, it 100% ruins the flow. And if you don't know how Metroid 1 ended, then like
it just feels weird.
Very weird. Yeah.
It's I feel like the victory lap that you take afterwards, like I understand what they're going for with that, because like you do that and you tear through those space pirates, and like for like that first immediate reaction, it feels really good. And then after that, you're like, wait, what's left in this game? Like you still have to find the power bombs, I guess, and then just immediately go fight a really easy final boss and then go into another escape sequence that is largely stupid easy, except for those two stupid black space pirates right at the end.
Great things at the very end. Yeah.
I did that escape sequence a few times.
I do think the dual escape sequences kind of suck.
Yeah, it's I love that section, but I also think that they should have saved it for I want to say they should have saved it for another game where it fit in better, but then they didn't get to make that game for 20 years. So who am I to talk?
You put in everything you can think of, because you never know. I do think the escape sequence after Mecha Ridley would be a great spot for an invisible checkpoint. So that you don't have to walk from the save point to fight Mecha Ridley every time and then do the escape sequence.
I also think, and this is something I'm going to talk about with Samus Returns next month, because Samus Returns, it does an even worse job of this. I kind of hate that now the game has finally given you everything you need to get all of the power-ups and proceed, and it's just for this stupid easy final boss. And admittedly, to the game's credit, if you have 100% of all items, the Mecha Ridley fight is harder. They boost the difficulty there. But it's just not enough.
I feel like combed through that map, and when it said 54% complete, I was like, are you serious? Like that?
because once you get the power bomb, then you need to go back to every single area, because there's power bomb stuff in every single area.
That didn't bother me in this game. It really bothered me in Samus Returns. And I'm not sure if it's because it's more egregious there or because...
It's Samus Returns is a much longer game.
It's a longer game. And you've been seeing these little crystal things for, 10 to 15 hours. And they give you that, the ability to get rid of that at the end. And it, like, what benefit is there to go around and collecting a bunch of missile pickups at the 11th hour?
Just to get 100%. Yeah, that's all it is.
It's like the moons in Mario Odyssey. It's like at that point, you're like, okay.
It's the entirety of Mario Odyssey.
and also to Samus Returns' credit, that final boss is also harder if you have 100% of all items. But it's really just like, what's the point?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't know that. I played Samus Returns for review, and that's why that final fight is way harder. Because I went back with 100%. It was like, what? I just beat this. What the hell?
Yeah, it's. I appreciate that they did that, but it's also just like, what's the point? What's the point of actually going get back and getting these items? And it's like, yeah, all of the Metroid games kind of have this problem, but like at least Super Metroid, like there's exactly one energy tank after the Ridley fight, and that's the only thing you can't get.
So there is one Metroid game that doesn't have that problem, by the way.
Metroid NES.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of wondering, like, I think it's interesting that like they show you the clear rate, but they also show you the time it took. And you were saying like it's fun to fight Mother Brain when if you're a speedrunner, but it's not fun like you're for your first go around. So it's like, why is the Mother Brain fight, like, why didn't they make that, like, okay, you get to Turian at, boom, this time on the clock, like, now you have now unlocked, like, the harder version, because this is where you've gotten to the fight at this point in the game, this quickly, like,
Mother Brain doesn't change.
I'm asking, like, why don't they do that? It just seems weird to me that there's like this incentive for you to go back and collect things, but also to try to beat the game as quickly as possible. Doesn't that kind of seem like at odds with itself?
Well, so actually the ending that you get, there are six different endings. And the ending that you get is decided on a combination of your speed and your item collection rate.
Oh, it's like a math problem.
It is exactly a math problem.
So for speed, it's over or under 2 hours. There is a set of three possible endings for over 2 hours and a set of three possible endings for under 3 hours. And then there are three variations for items. There is 100% of all items, not 100% of all items, or under 15% of all items. And
oh, wow.
So each of those three categories of how many items you have has two variations for whether you are over or under 2 hours, leading to six endings.
Say what you will about the stealth section of the game, Metroid Zero Mission should end with a Mother Brain fight. I think the stealth section should still be in there somewhere. I think it's worth playing. I don't think it makes any sense that Metroid Zero Mission doesn't end with the Mother Brain fight and that in that traditional classic escape sequence.
And that's kind of like why my opinion is that I love that section. I think it should absolutely be in a Metroid game. I just don't think it should be in this one. It just
the nice thing is we're all gonna love Metroid Dread.
We are. Like, no, that game's gonna be fucking incredible.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that video game.
I feel like there's a 0% chance I'm gonna have a problem with it. Like, I can't think of anything they could do to botch it.
Well, I mean, they could still do the stuff where you have to go back with an item that you get at the very end of the game. But even that, I mean, for me, that doesn't really irritate me. I'm just kind of like, oh, man, again.
They could introduce, like, weird story conflicts with the rest of the lore for no apparent reason.
Yeah. I shouldn't throw the gauntlet down like that.
Yeah. We're just setting ourselves up for failure, fellas.
Even if it could do that bullshit where you get like that one item right before the final boss, and then you can go get like the last 30% of items, and like it's still among the top three Metroid games because all of them do that except Super Metroid and Metroid NES.
I guess you could splice in that whole stealth section right before you do Turian. Like, I guess they could interrupt your quest after you beat Ridley and Kraid. And maybe Samus has to go back to her ship, escape from something. Maybe Ridley or Kraid, like, they set off a bomb. I don't know. Like,
it's tough because then at that point you're getting too far away from the original Metroid.
Yeah, they simultaneously want to remake the original and then add something onto it without changing the original game too much.
So at this point we've seen Sakamoto with Zero Mission and Samus Returns remake two Metroid games. And think about like what he added to both of them. It's Chozo lore.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely Chozo lore. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's what he added. I mean, but a lot of the going back to those ruins, and you know, that's when you see the little Samus's childhood image that she like her little kid picture of her and her two Chozo dads. And then in Samus Returns, but we'll get there. Like there's a lot of stuff there that's probably setting up Dread directly.
Yeah, they were like, oh yeah, she was raised by the Chozo, and I was like, whoa, you can't just like, what does that mean? You can't just drop that. Like, go read
the manga that was.
Where
never...
are her parents, people?
Like... No, Xander, it's easy. All you have to do is go live in Japan, learn Japanese, okay. And buy the manga that was never released
or,
in the West.
Or watch a video that John and I did.
I clicked that video, Neil, and I clicked like, and then I turned it off because I didn't want to.
Wow.
Because I didn't.
Wow.
God damn it.
It's because I wanted to like find out for myself, but also I wanted to support you guys.
I will say, so Matt, John, and I talked about this a lot in the Nintendo Report Slack today. But I will concede this point to Matt that. Xander, you're probably not going to get any of that in the game. Just watch the fucking video. Okay.
So you know, none of this is in the game. It's all in the manga, except for Other M, which does not explain it. It just goes, you know about this already. Here's a scene that only makes sense if you know about it already.
Yeah. Wait, so they expect you to have read the manga in Other M? Yeah.
So in the manga, it's Samus lived with her parents on a space colony that was attacked.
K-2L.
Yes, K-2L. And I don't know how it's pronounced. It's written, whatever.
K-2L.
It was attacked by space pirates, and Ridley specifically killed her parents.
Virginia and Rodney.
Virginia and Rodney Aaron. And then she was taken in by the Chozo, who found her as the sole survivor.
Old Bird. Old Bird and Grey Voice. Yeah, Grey Voice was not against, he was against taking her in, but Old Bird fought for it.
And so then so the Chozo raised Samus and gifted her with the power suit
on planet Zebes.
And the reason that this is relevant in Other M is because, and once again, I'll say that backstory is only in the manga that never came to the West. Samus suffers a PTSD panic attack because of like things related to Ridley in Other M. And it just expects you to already know that.
Wait, but she's met Ridley.
Don't worry about that.
I don't know how many times. I'm assuming that Ridley has fought in other Metroid games, but she's met her
every Metroid game.
So
all of them.
I do know that Other M takes place in between Super and Fusion. So why would she have a PTSD attack then and not the first?
Because the Prime games didn't happen, Xander.
Okay.
That's
The Prime games. I forgot about the Prime games.
I mean, it's still the third time she's seen Ridley. Fourth if you count remakes.
Well, she's not experiencing the remakes in real time.
I'm trying not to spoil Xander, John. You know what I mean.
Okay.
I'm making this decision now. I'm not going to say that when we get to Fusion, we all have to play Other M, but we should talk about Other M when we
I'll
talk
play
about
Other
M. So it's kind of impossible not to talk about Other M when talking about Fusion.
It is. I'm just saying. Well, we'll make a focus point that for when we talk about Fusion in September or whatever, or actually, I think that might be the first week of October, right before Direct comes out.
I just beg you, don't play Other M before Fusion. I beg you.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that I'm looking at our list, Zero Mission. I think we covered most of it. Maybe. So how does this stack up for everybody as like a Metroidvania and as a video game? Is this like anybody's favorite Game Boy Advance game of all time? Is it just kind of, does this game just feel like another entry to the litany of indie Metroidvanias for the past decade?
I think it's up there. I have issues with it, but it's also just like, Super Metroid is my favorite, but it's also kind of like, in my mind, an impossible legacy to live up to. So I can't blame Zero Mission for me not liking it as much as Super Metroid, because I don't know if I'll ever like a Metroidvania as much as I like Super Metroid. So I think that Zero Mission succeeds very often, and its failures, while disappointing, are not so much that they're like game ruining or anything. I think that like, yeah, the boss fights kind of suck, but other than that, like they're a relatively small percentage of the game. So I think I
kind of agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I would not. It's like I said, I can't count this as my favorite, and it can't live up to my favorite. But that's an unfair comparison for it. I think that when you look at it as a game standing on its own, it's fantastic. And I even honestly, if we want to get like super deep into like the games as metaphor kind of bullshit, it kind of makes sense for Zero Mission to be what it is in comparison to Super Metroid, of like that automatic car versus manual car thing. This is Samus like sort of young, playing it fast and loose. It's her first adventure. It makes sense for her to sort of play the way that she does.
I'll put this out there. I don't think it's a good remake of Metroid for NES. I think it's a really good game. I had a good time playing it. I think Samus like controls like a dream in Zero Mission. But unless you're going to play it multiple times and start sequence breaking it like Matt did, which I think I am kind of curious about dabbling in that. For a game as open ended and like as like much freedom as that game gives you, Metroid for NES, Zero Mission just restricts that freedom at every turn. And it you get power up. You get like 15 power-ups in the first 5 minutes of the game.
It's nuts.
It's great.
Like, it's great. It's fun. It's not Metroid, though. Like, if and by Metroid, I mean the NES game titled Metroid.
Yes.
It's not that. So, coming from a fan of the original, like, my thought was, and I think I shared this with you, Neil, I think it's a bad remake. I think it might be my favorite Metroid game, although I've kind of backpedaled on that a little bit. I think it's a kind of a bad remake of what is an incredibly open-ended exploration-focused game. If you're interested in, like, from a narrative standpoint, then maybe it's a successful remake, because it does, you know, it captures the narrative and it even, you know, enhances it and adds on to it at the end there. But like, if the things that you loved about Metroid were the freedom that it gave you, no, there's that's not what you're going to get out of Zero Mission. So that's, you know, and it's a maybe a bit of an unfair comparison because they're not going to put out a game like that anymore unless it's called Breath of the Wild, which is a whole different conversation. And honestly, like, I would love to see what the Breath of the Wild of the Metroid series would look like, because they kind of did it with Zelda. I never thought they would, but they did. They took the base concept of go anywhere and they made it a AAA game that was a tentpole release.
Especially because Metroid and Zelda both have the similar move to 3D, where, yeah. I mean, you could look at Ocarina of Time is Link to the Past in 3D and Metroid Prime is Super Metroid in 3D. I would love, you know, hopefully we're at the start of Metroid games coming out the yin yangs,
yeah,
and we get to the point where Metroid Breath of the Wild happens, because
maybe that's why Prime 4 is taking so long. Maybe yeah, Prime 4 got rebooted because they saw how good Breath of the Wild did and they wanted to take some inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is, you know, we sit here, we have no idea what the hell Prime 4 is. Maybe Prime 4 is this bold reinvention of the entire franchise.
I like the idea of pinball, though. I'm not quite away from that.
I respect that opinion a lot. I do not think that I, as someone who bounced off NES Metroid really hard, have really a place in saying whether or not I personally agree with it, but I think that that is a very good way to look at it, because I really like having the perspective of, like, it does, like, you can feel really good about some aspects of a game and not feel so good about other aspects of it, and that doesn't make it good or bad inherently. And I respect that viewpoint a lot, because it opens the door for more interesting conversations about how we look at games and how we make and play games. So I can't say that I agree, because I just didn't play enough NES Metroid, but like, I see what you're saying, and I think that that is a very, very good point.
I mean, and at the end of the day, I had a lot of fun playing Zero Mission again, and I played it when it was new. I had a lot of fun revisiting it. It's, you know, these are games that are fun to play, all of them, basically. Even Other M, in its own way, is fun to play.
Yeah, I don't think Other M is a bad game. I think the story is horrific.
If you mute the cutscenes, it's kind of a fun action game.
Yeah. if you extract, like, I don't know, 30% of the content of the disc, it's a 10 out of 10.
30% is a generously low percentage. Yeah. But...
I was going to say the pixel hunts are still there.
Yeah,
that's true. Fair. But that's forgivable if you take out the story. I did want to follow up Andy's point real quick and just say I think I would agree with why you would call it a bad remake. I think I would add the addendum that I think it's a really good reimagining.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah, absolutely.
If you are looking, if you just want to play the original Metroid in not HD, but HRD, then like this ain't it. But yeah, as a game that tells that story and takes that as a jumping off point, this is like Silent Hill Shattered Memories to the original Silent Hill.
Ooh,
like,
you got me,
it's
right?
A totally
you got
different
me,
game.
You got me right where it's right, so, right in that good spot.
Wait, they're gonna announce a Silent Hill game, right? Can we do the Nintendo lead up to Silent Hill by just talking about Shattered
just
Memories?
Shattered
Memories. Yeah, that one's gonna, that's gonna be a bad Silent Hill though, because Bloober Team is
yeah, I'll be real, don't give a shit. I just think Shattered Memories is a very good video.
Shattered Memories might rules. Be the best horror game ever made.
It's so good.
I've never played a Silent Hill. I'm just familiar with Bloober Team.
Shattered Memories is none of them.
Shattered Memories is one of the best uses of the Wii Remote.
I
honestly
think you might be legitimately able to look up an old episode of this show from like the year 2010, and Andy and I might be talking about how we're like, yo man, Shattered Memories is great.
I reviewed it for the site. I'm pretty sure I gave it a minimum a 9. I was really high on that game.
Andy, I got a question for you. Would you have wanted, especially within this era, would you have wanted this game to be remade kind of like they did the Mario Advance games? Because I'm under the impression most people don't care for the Mario Advance games, and they would rather play the originals.
Honestly, like, I don't even know that I feel the need for a remake. I think what they did with Zero Mission is perfectly acceptable. I think if they made a remake in the way that I would want a remake, most people wouldn't want that. And so, like, I think honestly, like, it may be a bad remake of Metroid, but like, I'm also not out here recommending that people go play Metroid, really. Mm-hmm. I think Zero Mission is a much better entry point for people into the series than Metroid on the NES. So,
and Nintendo does have issues with like making some of their older games accessible, but NES Metroid is not really one of those games. So
no.
Yeah.
It kind of doesn't need that remake as much, because if you want the feeling of the original Metroid, it is readily accessible.
Would I like to play like a Super Mario All-Stars version of any of my favorite NES games? Sure.
Yeah.
Am I clamoring for it? No, not really.
Okay. I just think it's interesting, just because like my perception is like how people respond to like those Mario remakes, and then like that seems like they're very direct with like a little bit of extra flavoring on them.
Sure.
But and then with this one, that kind of went above and beyond and kind of contorted it in a little bit, which sounds like it has sacrificed some of the things you enjoyed about the original one.
I mean, honestly, I enjoy how janky the original is. I think it's hilarious how much that game can just like, can just give you the middle finger and push you off a cliff at a moment's notice, and how like you can
my
get
favorite
soft.
Part is when you're going into another room and you can still die because the people are shooting you from the other room.
Absolutely. It's wonderful. Like
that's just object permanence. That's good game design.
It's like I said, Andy, my favorite childhood game, Sonic Adventure 2. It would not be the same if I could not rapidly spin dash over and over to get infinite speed.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess when I say things like it's a bad remake, I guess I'm not even really complaining about the game.
I don't even want a good remake.
I just feel like there's things about Zero Mission that don't capture what I appreciated about the original.
And I think looking ahead, I feel like that's the same case with Samus Returns and Metroid 2 Return of Samus, where they're. I mean, I think Samus Returns is like an infinitely better game, but there are certain things that we'll talk about when we talk about that game in a month and change that I think the Game Boy game does better. We have two pieces of listener mail. I'm just going to go through them pretty quickly. It's two people on the Discord that are contributing to the discussion there. So join us on the Discord and talk about Metroid games until, you know, sometime in October. So Capsule J writes in saying that he's going to join us on this. He's never played a lot of 2D Metroid games before. And he says, with Zero Mission, I enjoyed it more than some of the older Metroid games I've tried, but I'm still not sure I feel the magic yet. Samus's movements felt a little awkward to me, causing me to miss jumps that I feel like I should land. Most of the environments felt kind of drab or samey. Something that I liked in Zero Mission was a sense of alien ecology that you get from a few sequences, such as when you have to coax a swarm of bugs to eat through an otherwise indestructible obstacle. I'm hoping the later games of the series lean further into giving the player a sense of being in an alien world, rather than just a maze of tunnels. I also quite enjoyed the stealth sequence due to the way it shook up the formula. However, I feel like the sequence would have worked better as an intermission to the main game, rather than being tacked on at the end. Overall, my feelings on Zero Mission are mixed, but there was enough here that I'd like to be interested to see where the series goes from here. I think it's interesting seeing Capsule J's perspective after our lengthy discussion about it, because it seems like, I mean, it's even a different take than Xander as a newcomer to the game and the series. I do like the point about alien ecology, though.
Those bugs showed up and they ate the, because I remember spending forever trying to, that was one of those things where I'm like, okay, I just don't know what to do. Do I need a new weapon to be able to beat this like orb plant thing that's in my way? And then you just lead the little bugs to it. And I think I did that on accident. And I was like kind of floored when it happened.
I think that if I remember correctly, there is a room in Kraid's lair where you have to kind of do it accidentally by breaking some blocks, and you can watch it happen.
Okay. Yeah.
Although it's
they
like
show it to you if you're looking for it.
It's not super obvious. Yeah.
Gotta say, I mean, I know we're wrapping up our discussion here. I think I played this game in three or four sessions. Every time I picked this game up, you know, I immediately was sucked back in. I don't feel compelled to go back to it right now. I know it's kind of meant to like you play it so you can get like a better time or go back and find everything you missed. I think that's more because we are playing through the whole series. So maybe if I wasn't in that situation, I'd be more interested in doing that.
And
if,
also like, it's a big difference between like my 2 hour playthrough and your 6 hour playthrough.
Eight. Oh, yeah. I think like when you said you did that in like 2 hours, I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah, it was like the 20th time I've ever played the
game.
But
it's also like, I get it. You know, I can beat Luigi's Mansion in like 2 hours. Like, I know that game like the back of my hand. So it's like, I get it. If you've played this game a bunch, like,
yeah.
And if we were to revisit Zero Mission in the future, you know, I think I'd be down to revisit it, because I did really enjoy my time with it, and hopefully it'd be a little less.
You and me speedrun race on Twitch. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah,
we'll do another one of the game shows. I do think, Xander, what you were saying kind of ties into what Mike Sklens wrote in, original connectivity podcast editor and RFN co-founder. He wrote in saying, "I think Metroid Zero Mission may be the perfect weekend game. If you take it leisurely like I did, you could finish it in 3 to 5 hours. It's small and short enough that it's hard to forget exactly where you are and where you're going. I came away from it with a feeling of getting engrossed in a good novel and plowing through the whole thing in a day. I think it's a great intro to Metroidvania games and Metroid in general, and a great starting point for the story."
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, like, it's like these games are all outside of, I think Samus Returns probably a little too long. But that's also what modern video games have to be. I think if Samus Returns was the same length of Zero Mission, people would be like going out with pitchforks to Nintendo, being like, "This game's, how much money is it?"
Well, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, they changed that game, but you get to something like Link's Awakening, and it's like tile for tile the same.
Yeah.
Well, I say that they added a few heart containers, I think, and they added the
there's a lot more seashells,
the dungeon maker, like there's some flavoring, yeah, on there, but like it's
better than that. It's like one-to-one, whereas, yeah, Samus Returns is a much more full-formed reimagining, maybe not even a remake, kind of going off of, I mean, it changes the feel of the game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to Samus Returns. That's where we're going next. It's a little bit longer, I think. How long to beat has it pegged at, like 12 hours?
Oof.
So I think we have a little bit more.
I like that we're like, oh, 12 hours. Like,
yeah,
because that is a short game. But
it's a short game, but it's a short game in a genre where I want to play the game like 6 times.
I still feel like you could play every 2D Metroid game twice through in the time it takes you to get through half of Metroid Prime 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess some housekeeping. The next episode of this will be second week of August. I think we'll be recording it on August 11th. So if you have any listener mail, get it in before August 11th. We'll be talking about Metroid 2 Return of Samus and Metroid Samus Returns. Both of those games you can play on 3DS. The Game Boy game through 3DS Virtual Console, and Samus Returns that came out on 3DS. August 13th is our...
It's just those two. No other. There is
And I guess I didn't put it in the article on the site that I'm looking at right now, but if you want to play AM2R, another Metroid 2 remake, which coincidentally released like, what was it, days,
almost
weeks?
Exactly a year before.
Okay, a year before.
Well, because it was funny because it was like the game got DMCA'd, and we were like, what the fuck, Nintendo? Because it was like one of the first high profile versions of them doing that. And then like a couple months later, Samus Returns was announced.
Yeah,
and
it was
like,
that spring, and then E3. Yeah. It was weirdly that game was announced during the Treehouse stream, not during the direct. And so it was like,
Yeah, AM2R. If you want to play that, we'll definitely spend some time talking about AM2R in the next episode.
I would never have done that last week.
But yeah, it's a fan made remake of Metroid 2 that is. I mean, it's interesting seeing how, like, you know, Nintendo and Mercury Steam's take on remaking the game versus, you know, just the fans' work on remaking the game, and I believe the person who made AM2R now works for the company that makes the Ori games, which is cool.
That's funny. Yeah, it's fun. I wish we had more time to talk about Zero Mission. I think that like there's just like so much you can say, like when they were pointing out the comment about like the ecology, like it's such a small thing, but it's like, yeah, that's such a like that's worth bringing up. Like, it's such a cool moment, and this game is kind of filled with stuff like that. So really great game. It's my first time ever beating a Metroid. It was a pleasure to start with that one, and I look forward to all the joys that the series has to bring, except for that dumb screw attack jump move. Like that, please.
The space jump.
The space jump. No, thanks.
yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more Metroid.
I can't wait till you see the Space Jump in Prime.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
That's in two games now.
Oh, Prime is so good.
It's in most of them, Xander.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.
It was good to be back. It's been too long. Yeah. I can't believe there's been 280 of these.
Yeah. You know, it's been real long since I've been on the show too. So
yeah.
And we've done like 30 of them.
Yeah.
Like the reboot since we brought it back.
If you want to hear more about Metroid Zero Mission, it's not long until Smashterpieces gets to it. That's gonna be Joe's first time ever playing it too.
That's fun.
And you're playing it on hard mode, so
yes.
But so that way we get out of here before John has a stroke. I'm gonna wrap this up. Thank you, Xander, Andy, and Matt for joining us and talking about Metroid 1 and Metroid Zero Mission. We'll be back next week with other Nintendo content. Maybe we'll be talking about Skyward Sword. That's not divisive at all. But we'll be talking more about Metroid, a lot more, in the intervening months. But we'll be doing our game club in August, talking about Metroid 2, Metroid Samus Returns. So thank you, everybody else, for coming to talk. Thank you, John, for editing this and contributing. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Ba 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 da da ba.
Bye.
Thanks, man.